We are currently in the final of the men's surfing, the inaugural men's surfing gold medal final. It is Italo Ferreira, Fletch, who leads Igarashi, who unbelievably somehow found himself into this particular contest.
Yeah, well, he deserves to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as we said, he got that last cracking wave. But at the moment, he's struggling a little bit up against the favourite. And Gibbo, you were telling me a little story here that if Italo Ferreira wins gold, he gets a nice little kick.
Yeah, I think both of them have major deals with their sponsors or clauses in their contract that if they go on to win gold here, that should trigger $1 million plus bonuses.
Yeah. Wow.
So Italo has been phenomenal and so has Canar. So, you know, a bit extra to play for here.
Yeah,
absolutely. And a bloke who would be all over it. He is our surfing expert, a WSL commentator, Ronnie Blakey's on the line. G'day, Ronnie.
G'day, Joel. How are you, mate?
Mate, we're going all right here. We're going all right. And you may have one eye on it at the moment. Wow, that looked like to be a decent wave, didn't it, Fletch? Well, for me anyway. How's things going, Ronnie?
Oh, mate, I'm taking it all in. You know, magic moments for Australia, obviously, with Owen breaking through for the first ever Olympic medal for surfing. And, yeah, it was huge. You could see how much it meant to him.
Yeah, and Ronnie, like, bronze is terrific, but from where Owen has come from, like five or six years ago, he had that horrific wipeout in a pipeline, and he had to learn to walk and talk again. So it makes it even more remarkable.
Mate, it's incredible, actually. I was there in Hawaii that year. Owen was in title contention, nasty wipeout, kind of stumbled his way up the beach, and he was part of the Rip Curl team, and it was Mick Fanning that kind of actually sort of identified that he might need to see a doctor at the time, and they called an ambulance. It was just from that moment, it's just been such an incredibly tough road back, and a lot tougher than I think people actually know, or you know, even as the story has gone, you know, it was well publicised his comeback victory. But, only his wife, Keita, really knows and his family know how difficult that was. She was by his side the whole way through. She's kind of the unsung hero in this whole story, really. And, I just caught her on the coverage, having a chat, and, she's a hero.
Yeah, we will be taking the coverage too if it gets to the pointy end between Ferreira and Igarashi, currently 14.77, so a big lead at the moment. But we saw what happened in the semi-final with Igarashi coming up with that massive play to score over 9.09 or something in the last few minutes. He dragged it. What have you made, Ronnie? And what have the surfing community generally made of surfing being at the Olympics?
Well, I think, you know, no one can argue with what they're seeing at the moment. You know, you can see how much it means to the individuals. It's had its naysayers. There's a lot of core surfers that don't believe, you know, just that surfing fits into the Olympic idea. But it's, you know, that's basically coming from people who missed out on qualification, basically, or who aren't a part of it. Like every single individual who is getting the opportunity to represent their country. And these two surfers out there right now fighting for a gold medal, I think we'll see at the completion of this final how much it means to them. You know, Owen spoke about the Olympics, really a big beacon of light for him and the driving force behind a really focused recovery, which has, you know, fetched him a bronze medal. Kanoa Igarashi, he was born in California. His parents are Japanese. He made a decision about 4 years ago, once the Olympics was announced, that he would represent that bloodline, and he's going to get a silver medal at worst. So it's huge for him. And Italo Ferreira, this guy learnt to surf on the lid of an esky. So, you know, he's from nothing, a very small fishing village in the north of Brazil. It doesn't get a lot of surf, but the surf it does on its biggest days looks a lot like what we're seeing at the moment. So I think that gives him a real advantage in this kind of surf. And much like Gabriel Medina, these guys are so hard to stop once they start building this kind of momentum. He's already got 14.5 points, and Canoa's going to have to repeat what he did in the semi-finals to, well, the quarters, I'm sorry, to overcome Medina.
Well, the fact that this sport now has just opened up to millions and millions of other people who probably wouldn't have seen surfing before. We've seen it on social media that people are saying, they've come out saying, well, I didn't know surfers could do this sort of thing on board. So it can only be a good thing for the sport, surely.
Yeah, it's going to be huge for the sport. I mean, I've been asked that question a lot, you know, how much of an increase will we see? But surfing's just such a big participation sport. But, it's kind of like I compared it to, say, riding a bike. We all ride push bikes, but we don't all necessarily watch competition. But I don't know. I think for a lot of people, the biggest thing with surfing is just getting your head around how it works as a sport. Obviously, there's that element of Mother Nature involved. That's hard to kind of get your head around, but it can be so exciting. And you know, listening to Barton Lynch, who's over there doing the commentary at the moment, and just hearing him talk about how gymnastic and athletic it's become is amazing. And you know, all these guys have trained so hard for this moment, as have the women. Just to go back to Owen, you know, as you said, that's as good as a gold medal, I feel. He was up against such a stacked field. Kanoe Igarashi did very well to make it through to this final, but Italo, the Brazilian surfers on the men's side, they were supremely dominant. On the women's side, I liked our chances of a medal more. But Steph Gilmore, Sally Fitzgibbons falling a little short. But yeah, for Owen to get a bronze medal out of this Olympics is huge.
Now, and I think the key to all of this, and you probably agree, Ronnie, is that for it to really take off at the Olympics, you needed the big guns there participating and the big guns finding themselves at the pointing end, which has most certainly happened. But the next event on the WSL, stop number 7, is August 10, the Corona Open in Mexico. How does that play out with these athletes? Are they going to be able to get back for that?
Yeah, mate, that's the plan. I mean, Owen Wright, actually, he headed off to California to compete in the last championship tour event before the Olympics. And rather than come home and quarantine to be with his family for just a couple of weeks, he opted to stay in California and train hard. And, you know, he's got the payoff. He's got a young daughter who's around 4 or 6 months old. So he made that ultimate sacrifice, and he will now go and compete in Mexico and Tahiti, which is an event that he has won before. So, you know, it's been a big extended trip. Like every single athlete that's over there competing in Japan at the moment has obviously made big sacrifices, and they're spending time away from loved ones. But Owen's really going to be on the road for probably a couple more months after he leaves Japan. So it's a huge commitment.
Well, Ronnie, we appreciate it, mate. And I know there's only 9 minutes left in the gold medal matchup, which is Ferreira versus Igarashi, where Ferreira has a sizable lead for the time being. But as we know, this can turn on its head very, very quickly. So we'll let you go back to watching this, Ronnie, and we appreciate your time.
Good on you, lads.
There he is.
Great man, Ronnie Blakey. You'll get all him. He's beautiful. Dulcet tones on the WSL, of course, as that comes up.